Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me right here on BlueZoneWellness.org today. I'm broadcasting here from right outside of beautiful Orlando, Florida. It's kind of cool here today. As you know, if you listen on a regular basis, I am a traditionally trained naturopathic doctor with both a practice and a ministry located in Orlando, Florida, and I approach natural medicine from a Christian perspective. As we say here, the doctor of the future will give no medicine, quoting Thomas Edison, but it interests his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease, and it is my object is to try and do that as best as I can. So be sure to join me every Sunday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on BlueZoneWellness.org, or some of you may be listening at blogtalkradio.com. Again, also just want to remind you, if you're listening, to you can follow me at facebook.com/naturedoc, or rather friend me. You can follow me at Blue Zone Wellness on Twitter. And you can go to bluezonewellness.org and read some articles there. But if you really want to get the good articles, many of which a lot of research has gone into them, you can go to phase3ministries.com. That's P-H-A-S-E, the number 3, ministries.com/WordPress for the blog, and that is where you will find lots and lots of relevant information if you are interested in being healthy, of staying, learning about remedies to keep you healthy or to help you if you get sick to not stay sick for long. Also, I want to remind you, if you're listening and you would like to call in with a question, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's toll-free if you're here in the U.S. Again, that's 917-889-2207. We have a very interesting show for you today. Yeah, I'd just like to remind, rather thank my friends who are listening also over from Costa Rica and also from right here in the U.S. or wherever you may be listening from around the world. We have a very interesting show for you today. We're going to be talking about some studies as we start off in our first segment here. This is the Week in Natural News Review. We have an article that we're going to be talking about that came out from Yahoo Shine, which talked about a very interesting article talking about how even moderate amounts of drinking are linked to increased risk of cancer, especially for women. So, and men as well, but we get a very interesting article. This idea that the French or whatnot are healthier than, because they drink so much wine. There's a dark side to that, and we're going to talk about that a little bit in this article, referencing a study that just came out recently. Again, that we're also going to be talking about how your child's IQ can actually literally be affected by their skipping breakfast. They can literally, I guess you could say, it literally can make them dumber over time by skipping breakfast. We talk about here on Natural Blue Zone Wellness that breakfast is actually a very, very important meal. It's an extremely important meal, probably the most important meal of the day, and it should be the biggest meal of the day. We've talked about that before. Also, we have another article. We're going to talk about how some hormonal birth control pills actually can increase the risk of diabetes in overweight women. Now, you have to remember that one-third of the women in the U.S. are overweight and another one-third are obese. So that's a total of two-thirds. So the majority of women in the U.S. are either obese or overweight. And hormonal birth control increases. Some of the hormonal birth control that we're going to, in this study that we're going to talk about, actually increases the risk of overweight women having diabetes. By being overweight or obese, you're already at a higher risk. But these studies show that if you're not taking birth control pills, hormonal birth control pills, your likelihood that you can develop diabetes even goes higher. Then we're going to talk a little bit, another article, we're going to talk a little bit more about some more evidence that talks about the ability of that vitamin C has to cut colds back. And in some cases, it can protect you against colds. If you develop the cold, it can cut the duration of the cold by a full 50%. And we're going to talk about in what cases that it can cut the duration of a cold by a full 50%. Then when we go over to our second segment, the healing food segment, today we're going to be talking about the ability of berries to actually cut back, cut your risk, rather, of heart attack. Again, that's the ability of berries, or strawberries especially, to cut your risk of heart attack. Again, you're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. We're going to take a very quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to jump right into our show. Again, thank you for listening. You're listening to BlueZoneWellness.org.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? Then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you 2 bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net, and join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The Simple Natural Health Secrets Blog.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. Again, thank you for joining me, wherever you may be joining me from around the world. We're going to go ahead and get started with our first article here in our first segment, the Week in Natural Foods Review. This is the time that we take articles that have come out during the week and we discuss and analyze them from a natural health perspective. This first article was published on Yahoo.com at Yahoo Shine. And it was published on the 15th of February. And it's entitled, Even Moderate Drinking is Linked to Increased Cancer Risk. And the authors start off by telling us that new research shows that even a single alcoholic drink per day can actually increase your risk of developing certain types of cancer, including breast cancer in women. So here we're told right away that even one drink a day can actually increase you're developing the risk of certain type of cancers. The article goes on to say further that though people have long believed that a glass or two of wine can be good for your heart, the new study conducted in conjunction with researchers in the U.S., Canada, and France shows that the cancer risks far outweigh any heart-healthy benefits. And let me add to that by saying that the benefits that were widely reported, I can remember watching it some years ago, on 60 Minutes, and a big story was they did a big story on it about the benefits of wine and for the heart, etc. But you can get the exact same benefits from drinking grape juice. So it's not so much the alcohol content that gave the benefit to healthy heart, but rather the content and the nutrients that's packed and the antioxidants that's actually packed in the grape juice. And so even this article point out that the risks far outweighed the benefits, any potential benefits that you could get from drinking alcohol. The article then quotes Dr. Timothy Naimi, who is an alcohol researcher at Boston University School of Public Health and a physician at the Boston University Medical Center who actually helped design and direct the study. He said, quote, alcohol has long been known and recognized as a human carcinogen. So even some alcohol consumption, he says, raises your risk. On the balance of all people who begin drinking, many more people are killed by alcohol, he says, than helped by it. No, he goes on to say further, no public health body or clinical body recommends that people start drinking to improve their health. And the research was actually published in the American Journal of Public Health, and it relied on, according to this article, existing data about cancer deaths, about alcohol consumption, and about risk estimates from other scientific study. And the article points out that it marks the first time that researchers have examined alcohol-related cancer rates in about 30 years. So the article says further that they found in this study that alcohol could be blamed for about 20,000 cancer deaths each year, or one out of every 30 cancer deaths in the United States, which was about what was expected. And that caught me by a bit of surprise. I didn't realize that 20,000 cancer deaths are caused in the year, every year in the United States alone, just by or connected to alcohol. So this is pretty significant. 20,000 people a year die from cancer, which was caused or connected to or associated with alcohol. One in every out of every 30 cancer deaths in the U.S. That's pretty interesting. The article went on to say further that, but while heavy drinkers face the highest risk, about a third of those deaths were among people who drank only small amounts of alcohol. That's 1.5 alcoholic drinks or fewer per day. So even drinking moderately, a third of the people, what's defined maybe as moderately, a third of the people still died from cancer. And the article went on to say it didn't matter what type of drink was consumed. Standard servings of beer, 12 ounces, wine, 5 ounces, and hard liquor, 1.5 ounces, all contained the same amount of alcohol. And the article says further, the stats sound pretty scary, and they're trying to take away some of the fear by saying, you know, that if people not drinking too much, it would be okay. But then the author of the study also pointed out, you need to realize, though, if you're a drinker or consumer of alcohol, there are no free, he says, you need to recognize there are no free lunches when it comes to cancer and alcohol. And the article went on to point out further, while more men die from alcohol-related cancers than women, men tend to drink more. Women actually have more adverse consequences from drinking, not only because they tend to have less body mass than men, but because they also metabolize alcohol less efficiently. The study found that about 6,000 female breast cancer deaths each year, or 15%, could be attributed to alcohol consumption. So, again, ladies, if you're drinking alcohol, consuming alcohol, even in small amounts, or even as low as 1.5 ounces per day or less, you are increasing, and perhaps even significantly increasing, your risk of developing breast cancer. And for men, they found that cancers of the mouth, the throat, and esophagus were the most common types of alcohol-related cancer. And they pointed out further in this article that alcohol is also linked to cancer of the liver, the colon, and the rectum. This particular study also eliminated the common misconception that Europeans, especially in France and Germany, are healthier than Americans, even though they drink plenty of alcohol. And he says further, if the doctor, Dr. Nami, who was again the who directed the study, he said that if Europeans are healthier, it's not likely because they're drinking. Because of their drinking habits, the number of cancer deaths attributed to alcohol in Europe were higher than in the United States. So they're not, as he points out, they're not healthy because they're drinking alcohol, because their alcohol-related deaths are actually higher than those here in the U.S. So there must be some other reason that they're healthy. Maybe they're exercising, or they're not eating as bad as Americans, or whatever they're doing. But at the very least, it's not associated with their higher consumption of alcohol drinking. And so basically, if you are drinking, this article pointed out some very interesting stats. If you are drinking alcohol, or if you have family members that are drinking alcohol, they need to understand that they're significantly increasing the likelihood that they could actually develop cancer. And if you're a woman, it can significantly increase your likelihood of developing breast cancer. And not as well as other cancers. And if you're a man, it can significantly increase your chances of developing a throat, mouth, esophageal cancer, and some of these other cancers, and in either, as I pointed out in the article, You could develop cancer of the rectum, colon, etc. So again, now we're going to pivot and we're going to turn over and we're going to look at our next article, how skipping breakfast can actually hurt your child's IQ. How skipping breakfast can actually hurt your child's IQ. Now, again, if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207, which is a toll-free number. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Now, this article is an article that was published on the 14th of this month, about 3 days ago, and it was entitled, we're going to discuss this, and it was entitled, Skipping Breakfast Hurts Your Child's IQ, and it was taken from naturalnews.com. In this particular article, the author goes on to point out, and they're citing a study from the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing, and they point out how children who regularly skip breakfast have lower verbal performance and full-scale IQs than other children. So and basically, they start out by saying that children who regularly skip breakfast have not only lower verbal performance, but also their overall IQ is lower than children who actually eat breakfast on a consistent basis every day or almost every day. And the article pointed out starts by saying, quote, childhood is a critical period in which dietary and lifestyle patterns are initiated. And these habits can have important immediate and long-term implications. Actually, the article was quoting the lead researcher, Jihong Liu, and said breakfast habits appear to be no exception, and irregular breakfast eating has already been associated with a number of unhealthy behaviors such as smoking, frequent alcohol use, and as well as infrequent exercise. The article goes on to point out how although the nutritional and cognitive and performance benefits of breakfast have been well established, this particular study is actually one of the first to look at the connection between breakfast and the IQ. So basically the nutritional and the cognitive performance or the mental performance, the intellectual side, has actually been looked at and it's been established pretty well that breakfast actually helps the body and helps the brain. So, but from here they want to look at it from the angle of the IQ and see the connection between the breakfast, eating breakfast and IQ. The researchers analyzed data from 1,269 six-year-olds who were taking part in this ongoing Jitson Child Cohort Study, which was designed to uncover the early risk factors for later childhood neurobehavioral health. And in China, the article points out that breakfast is very highly valued, and it is less common, and skipping rather is less common than in the United States. So basically, in China, they don't skip breakfast as frequently as we do here in the U.S. The researchers found that after adjusting for several sociodemographic risk factors for low IQ, children who regularly skip breakfast, they basically looked upon the evidence and they decided that those who actually regularly skip breakfast had lower overall IQ scores by about 4.6 points than children who always or nearly always ate breakfast. And the performance IQ scores among children who skip breakfast were 2.50 points lower than their verbal IQ scores. And their verbal IQ scores rather were 5.58 points lower. So those are significant points. If you think about that, the article they're pointing out that in this study from the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing, basically that children who always or nearly always ate breakfast are compared to those who never ate breakfast or who regularly skip breakfast. The ones who regularly skip breakfast had a lower IQ, overall IQ, by 4.6 points. And again, the performance IQ scores among children who skip breakfast were 2.50 points lower, and their verbal IQ scores were almost 6 points lower. So skipping breakfast can actually affect your overall IQ scores. It can affect your performance IQ scores and also affects your verbal IQ score of the most significantly. So that was a pretty significant point difference. So not eating breakfast can actually hurt your child's IQ and their intelligence. And you combine that with skipping breakfast and then eating lots of junk foods, candy and cookies and potato chips, and not getting outside in the fresh air in the sunshine, playing video games all day, or sitting at the computer and not going outside, you can begin to realize why maybe in many of our schools, in elementary schools and middle schools and high schools and even colleges, the U.S. is lagging in many areas, far behind other nations of the world in terms of intellectual capacities and intelligence. Eating and not eating correctly and having a bad diet really does play a large role in our lifestyle. The article goes on to point out further. The researchers believe that breakfast is especially important for young children whose brains are still going through rapid cognitive development. And after an entire night of fasting, the article points out, the brain is starved for energy and breakfast supplies it with the fuel that it needs for a new day. In addition, the researchers suggested that the social interaction that children receive from eating breakfast with their families also promotes brain development, and observing and taking part in regular group conversation helps young children, they theorize, expand their vocabularies, learn general knowledge, and gain practice at understanding and synthesizing stories. The quoting Dr. Liu, who was the lead author of the study, the article pointed out, quoting him, says, quote, because adequate nutrition in early childhood has been linked to increased IQ through childhood, which is related to decreased childhood behavior disorders, better career satisfaction, and socioeconomic success in adults, breakfast consumption could ultimately benefit long-term physical and mental health outcomes as well as quality of life. So who would have thought that your life, what you put into your mouth, could actually affect your overall socioeconomic success as an adult, could affect you along with, we generally think of health, we generally think of just physical health. We generally don't think of the mental, the physical, rather all four. And this is why I always tell people who come to see me or when I talk or give lectures, is that whenever we address the human body for any sickness or disease, or if you just want to get healthy, whatever the case is, you have to look at the physical, the mental, the spiritual, and the emotional. All of those parts. It's just not the physical, or it's just not the spiritual, it's just not the emotional, it's just not the mental. You have to look at all of those elements when you're looking at a person who has any disease or abnormality, or someone who just they may not have anything necessarily clinically, a clinical diagnosis, but they're just not feeling well, they just want to be healthier. You have to look at all of those elements, and here again is why naturopathic doctors in general will look at the entire man or the whole man, or even allopathic doctors who practice naturopathic methods, et cetera, and homeopaths and herbalists would generally also look at the whole man and look at health from that perspective. Only then can you really have a correct understanding of whatever the problem may be happening. So back to this article. This article pointed out that these findings hold important public health implications regarding regular breakfast consumption in early young children. The article says further that other studies have shown that about 18% of U.S. residents over the age of 2 skip breakfast on a regular basis. They have also shown that it is not just children who suffer from skipping this important meal, the article points out further, but it's also, they cite a 2012 study. In this study, they found that people who skip breakfast tend to weigh more than average and also are more likely to consume too many high-calorie foods and sugary soft drinks and to eat fewer fruits and vegetables. So, interestingly enough, about 18% of U.S. residents over the age of 2 years old actually skip breakfast on a regular basis. I sometimes talk to people who say, well, you know, I'm not a morning person. I'm not a breakfast person, etc. Well, I suggest that you become a breakfast person because it's going to be very important. It's going to be very important for your health. It's very important for your health. It's also very important for your mental capacity, not only for yours, but also for your children. So again, it's very, very important that we understand that eating is not just a matter of your physical health, but it's also a matter of your mental health, your spiritual health, and your emotional health. You listen to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. If you would like to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. We're going to go on to our next article. Now, this article was also from naturalnews.com. It was published on February 15th of this year, just this past week. and it is entitled Hormonal Birth Control Increases the Risk of Diabetes. Hormonal birth control increases the risk of diabetes. The article points out that some hormonal birth control methods may actually increase the risk of diabetes in overweight but otherwise healthy women, according to a study conducted by researchers from the University of Southern California and published in the journal Contraception. So let's look at that for a minute. Basically, this article goes into explaining that some hormonal birth control methods can actually increase the risk of diabetes in overweight women, even if they are otherwise healthy. So let's say you're a woman that's actually already overweight, but outside of that, you're generally healthy. And let's say you begin taking some type of birth control, hormonal birth control. The article is going to point out that you can actually increase, end up with diabetes, actually develop diabetes when you didn't have them previously. It says that the researchers divided a group of obese women into three groups. The first group consisted of women who were using any non-hormonal birth control method, including condoms, sterilization, either the male or the female, or the copper, or rather the IUD. The second two groups consisted of women using long-lasting reversible contraception based around the hormone progestin. One group used a progestin-releasing IUD. Women in the other group used a progestin-releasing device that was implanted under their skin. The study included women who were using progestin-based birth control methods such as pills, rings, or injections, but it also did not include women using birth control based on hormones other than progestin. Progestin, just for the listeners to know, and is also pointed out in the article, is actually a synthetic version of the female sex hormone progesterone, which progesterone actually plays a very critical role in pregnancy. And progestin is one of the hormones used in hormone replacement therapy, which was once widely used to treat the symptoms of menopause until it was shown to actually increase women's risk of heart disease and cancer, as well as early death. So again, hormone replacement therapy, if you're into that, you need to, or if your doctor's recommended that, you really need to seek a natural form of hormone replacement therapy as opposed to a synthetic form. Also need to look at your overall lifestyle and those laws of health that we talk about here, being trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. Very, very important. Those laws of health cannot be improved upon. They were given to us by the Creator, and a scientific application of them will keep you from getting sick, and if you get sick, they will help you to get well. Now, we're going to move on later on, further down into the article. It says the researchers found that all birth control methods included in the study were actually effective and that none of the participants experienced changes in their weight, in their cholesterol levels, or in their blood pressure between the beginning and the end of the study. But women with the skin implant birth control option experienced a 10% increase in their fasting blood glucose levels over the course of 6 months, while women with the progestin-releasing IUD experienced a 5% increase. The article says further that conversely, fasting blood glucose levels actually decreased by 2% in the control group. Insulin sensitivity also decreased, and both the IUD and the progesterone reversible contraception groups in comparison with the control group. Both of these changes indicate an increased risk, the article points out, of developing diabetes. The effect is particularly striking since there was no increase in other diabetes risk factors such as weight. So in other words, being overweight or obese is one of the risk factors of becoming diabetic, and so in this study, their weight didn't increase, but yet their diabetes increased, and the study pointed out that there were no other risk factors with the exception of these hormone-based birth control methods. The findings support, article went on to say, the results of a prior study conducted by the same researchers. Again, this was by researchers from the University of Southern California, and it was published in the journal Contraception. And the article pointed out that the findings support the results of a prior study conducted by the same researchers, which found that obese women who received a progestin shot every 3 months also had an elevated diabetes risk. So, and the quoting the researcher, the article goes on to point out, quoting researcher Pania Siegel Gutierrez, they said, quote, overall, we're finding that methods such as the progestin injection and the progestin skin implant, which both have higher circulating progestin, may have an increased risk for metabolic changes. Finally, the article closed out by saying, quote, contraceptive studies often only look at normal weight women. Studies such as this are necessary because today one-third of women in the U.S. are overweight and one-third are obese. So again, as I mentioned that earlier, a full third of the women here in the U.S. are obese and another third are overweight. And of course, we're going to have issues when you have that many people who are either obese or overweight. The article also pointed out obese women are already advised not to use estrogen-based hormonal contraception because these drugs are known to increase the risk of blood clots, which can actually be especially dangerous for those who already have compromised cardiovascular health. Again, so if you are overweight or obese, and if you are taking these hormone-based birth control pills, you need to understand that the likelihood that you would develop diabetes is increased, and it's increased rather to a significant amount as well. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to take a brief break, about a minute, and we'll be back to continue with our next article. We're going to talk about our next article, how more evidence has come out that shows that vitamin C actually really, really does protect you against colds. But it also not only protects you against colds, but it also protects you against the duration of a cold. But it depends on who you are, what type of cold it is, etc., or rather who you are. There's a difference between, and some people it's been shown to cut colds significantly, up to 50% in some. And we're going to come back and find out if you fall into that category where a cold can cut, where vitamin C can cut your cold by a full 50%. Then we also, when we get back, we're going to go into our healing food segment where we're going to talk about how you can cut your heart attack risk dramatically by simply eating more berries. And then we're going to also go into our final segment where we're going to be talking about vitamin E today. And we're going to be talking about the type of vitamin E you should be taking, the benefits of vitamin E, how to recognize if you have deficiencies, and just how powerful vitamin E is. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry, and we'll be back right after these brief messages.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archive versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? Then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you 2 bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net, and join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry, broadcasting from right outside of Orlando, Florida. on this cool, chilly Sunday afternoon. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. You may be listening on bluezonewellness.org. You may be listening at phase3ministries.com. You may be listening at blogtalkradio.com. Wherever you may be listening, again, I thank you for listening. We're going to move on into our next and our final article in our week in natural review. And this article is more evidence that vitamin C does protect against colds. And one of the reasons we go back and we talk about some of these different vitamins and minerals, and sometimes new evidence comes out, but we also have to remember that the medical establishment also will oftentimes put out false or fake studies and which will tend to try and cut back or demonize vitamins or minerals and or ignore studies that have come out that actually show how effective these vitamins and minerals are. And also they will oftentimes, when it comes to drugs, they will hide studies or crush studies or not publish studies when it shows severe side effects of drugs, and then we only publish the quote good side. And so we have to remember is that we have to stay vigilant, and this is one of the reasons that we deal with articles from time to time that when we get new information on vitamin C, on vitamin D, or on this herb or that herb, we have to talk about them and discuss them to bring you up to speed. And many times some practitioner or some study will come out and we will find that a herb or a vitamin was very, very beneficial for some other disease or abnormality or sickness that we didn't know beforehand, or we didn't know the correct dosages, and then we find it necessary to put it out and daring to bring it to our the listeners' attention. Again, you're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. If you would like to call in, you can do so with a question or a comment at 917-889-2207. You can visit me or you can follow me at Blue Zone Wellness on Twitter. Or you can also friend request me at facebook.com/naturedoc. Now, this next article entitled More Evidence Vitamin C Does Protect Against Colds is taken from naturalnews.com. And it started off by saying by the time he died in 1984, Linus Pauling had long been branded a quack by mainstream medicine and much of the mainstream media. Now, Dr. Linus Pauling was a doctor who was a PhD, and he was very, very well versed in vitamins and the use of high dose use of vitamins in a system of study that I had to take in school. And we actually studied his textbook in orthomolecular nutrition. And Dr. Pauling was branded a quack because, you know, even though he was initially mainstream, when he began to tell the truth, of course, he was ostracized, and this article went on to point out how he was branded a quack because he advocated the use of vitamin C to treat many diseases, including the common cold. He claimed the medical establishment had long ignored important studies by respected scientists who provided evidence of vitamin C's disease-fighting properties, the article points out. And the article then points to a research by scientists at the University of Helsinki. An article says, now in a review of multiple placebo-controlled vitamin C studies, scientists at the University of Helsinki have found evidence that backs up what Dr. Pauling was saying decades ago. Bottom line, the article says, once again, it appears clear that vitamin C could well be a powerful source to avoid or shorten colds, especially in people under heavy physical stress. And, you know, interestingly, those of us who are practitioners, we realize the power. Even though we like the studies to tell us why they work and basically confirm, but if those of us who are practitioners and we take these things ourselves and we give them to our families, even though we appreciate the studies and we like the studies and the studies are good to help us understand the way and the processes, the way that these vitamins and things work, and sometimes we get a better understanding of certain dosages, we don't really need studies to prove to us that they work, because those of us who are practitioners, we know that they work. We know from taking them ourselves. We know from recommending them to our clients or patients. We know from recommending them to our family members and our loved ones that they work. And so the studies are good, but nothing is quite like hands-on experience. The article goes on to point out further that vitamin C was found to have, in this particular study from Helsinki University, was found to have a quote, modest but consistent effect in reducing the duration of common cold symptoms based on 31 study comparisons with 9,745 common cold episodes. However, in 5 randomized studies of research subjects with heavy short-term physical stress, the results were more dramatic. Vitamin C cut the incidence of the common cold in half. So basically, the study found that if you had a cold and if you were under heavy physical stress, that vitamin C worked even better, to the extent that it could cut the incidence of the common cold by 50% if you were under heavy physical stress. And it goes, the article went on to point out further that 3 of the trials involved marathon runners, 1 studied Swiss school children in a skiing camp, and another looked at Canadian soldiers during a winter exercise. In an additional recent randomized trial involving adults and competitive swimmers, the article says, the research team found that vitamin C given to males who had colds cut the duration of their illnesses by 50%, although the vitamin C didn't seem to have the same effect on the females, which is interesting, I found. The study of the University of Helsinki researchers was recently published in the Cochrane Review, and in a media statement, the scientists noted that, quote, these findings unambiguously show that vitamin C has a biological effect on colds. They also noted that vitamin C had no dangerous side effects. So the article said further, for anyone interested in natural health and staying well for as much of the time as possible, it would certainly seem reasonable to consider taking vitamin C regularly. And so here at this point, the article author points out that even though these scientists came out on the one hand and they noted that these findings unambiguously show that vitamin C has a biological effect on colds. So here, basically what they're saying, as scientists from this study, from a scientific perspective, we can say that vitamin C actually does have a biological effect, unambiguously effect on colds. But then the author points out, which seems to him amazing, he said the very scientists who say an analysis of research shows the efficacy of vitamin C versus the cold claim in their press statement that it's not reasonable, they said, to take vitamin C every day to shorten colds. The reason, they said, was because adults and children have so few colds a year, they say it doesn't seem worthwhile. Then, he said, the researchers turned around and added a seemingly contradictory statement to the press that seems more in line with their actual evidence, saying, quote, nevertheless, given the consistent effect of vitamin C on the duration and severity of colds in the regular supplementation studies and the safety and low cost of vitamin C, the authors considered that it may be worthwhile for individual common cold patients to test whether therapeutic vitamin C is beneficial for them. So, at the end of the day, we can say, yes, vitamin C unambiguously does work for colds, notwithstanding any pressure or outside press that schools or universities may be worried about not getting support from the behind the scenes from the drug companies, etc. So whenever you hear studies coming out that try and undermine what we know is well-founded, real-world experience and proof that many of these supplements and vitamins, et cetera, actually work, you can know that many times there's someone behind the scene trying to affect or reduce the knowledge and the effectiveness are cut back on the people's knowledge with respect to natural medicine and natural remedies, because it cannot be, most natural remedies cannot be patent. They can't be patent herbs, can't be patented. And so you have people can't, not only that, they don't want people taking away money from drugs that can be patented, and they can be, and make insane amounts of money by not being honest. And by keeping people in the dark, not only keeping them in the dark, but actually making them sick and giving them drugs unnecessarily. Finally, we're going to move over to our healing food segment. This is our second segment. And here's where we talk about a healing food and the benefits of eating certain foods and how they work in the body and what they can do to help prevent or keep us healthy, or prevent disease or keep us healthy. And today we're going to be talking about how eating berries, especially strawberries, but other berries as well, can actually help dramatically decrease the risk that you would have a heart attack. There was a recent study that concluded that eating 3 or more servings of strawberries and or blueberries per week actually protects against cardiovascular disease and heart attacks in women. And this particular study was for dietary influences that increase heart and cardiovascular health, but not breast cancer. And so basically, this study that we're talking about here, the title was High Anthocyanin Intake is Associated with the Reduced Risk of Myocardial Infarction or Heart Attacks in Young as Well as Middle-Aged Women. And it was accepted by the Journal of the American Heart Association on November 13, 2012. And the anthocyanin for heart health study was accomplished through the second nurses health study. It included nurses in the UK as well as the United States, and it monitored primarily the Harvard School of Public Health and here in the U.S. and the University of East Anglia in the United Kingdom. And this study was carried out over a period of 18 years, which involved 93,600, almost 94,000 women between the ages of 25 to 42. And the women were surveyed and were instructed to consume strawberries and blueberries. Both of these are high in anthocyanins, which are often solely because women could include them in their weekly diet easily is the reason that they wanted these women to take these to eat these berries. Again, they wanted them to eat blueberries as well as strawberries. We're going to talk about I've mentioned anthocyanins here before. They're actually flavonoids. They work similar in a way to antioxidants, or a form of antioxidants. Anyway, in this particular study in discussion, the results show women who ate the most strawberries and blueberries 3 times a week or more had a 32% risk reduction for heart attacks than women who ate them less often. So you can decrease the likelihood of having a heart attack by 32% by eating either strawberries or blueberries at least 3 times a week. Now, don't get me wrong. You can't be smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol and not stressing out and eat a few berries. Even though the berries will have a beneficial effect, very beneficial effect. But if you really want real health, you want to combine the eating of berries like these and strawberries with good overall healthful practices. And you have to remember, this 32% risk reduction in some people's minds might not seem like much, but really 32% is actually quite significant. But if you realize some of the risk factors for heart attacks are age, high blood pressure, family heart attack history, body mass, exercise, smoking, caffeine, or alcohol intake, these things were actually not even considered in the study. So if you're not even considering those things in the study and you're still getting a 32% risk reduction for heart attacks, imagine if you're doing those things. Imagine if you're watching your blood pressure, if you're not at common risk for heart attacks, high risk for heart attacks, if you don't have a family heart attack history, if you have good body mass, if you exercise, if you're not smoking or taking in alcohol or caffeine, just think about the benefit. In this study, all those things were not taken into consideration, and there's still a 32% risk reduction of having a heart attack if you're a female. And so basically, in other words, your risk factor for heart attacks could be even lower with high berry consumption if your diet is not the standard American diet and you exercise on a regular basis. And the American Heart Association has actually confirmed that berries are good for men's hearts too, which is true. Now, the anthocyanins, which are actually a subclass of flavonoids, as I said earlier, were actually the focus of this study. And although strawberries and blueberries contain large amounts of them, anthocyanins is actually common to several other fruits as well as plant foods, including some grains. And generally speaking, the more colorful the plant, the higher the anthocyanin content. That goes in line with my philosophy, as I've said on here before, of eating in harmony with the colors of the rainbow. Again, the closer your food is in harmony with the rainbow in its natural state, I'm not talking about colorful packages, but the closer you're eating your fruits and your vegetables, your nuts and grains, primarily your fruits and vegetables when it comes to the colors of the rainbow. Again, we remember the colors of the rainbow by the acronym Roy G. Biv: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. If you look at most of your fruits and vegetables, they will fall in that realm, in the color. And again, the more of those you eat in line, the more anthocyanins you're going to get, the more flavonoids you're going to get, the healthier overall you're going to be. Again, anthocyanins actually help to dilate and clear your blood vessels, as well as the other compounds are known to unclog arteries. But anthocyanins are actually able to work on your small capillaries throughout the body as well. The herb bilberry, and we've talked about bilberry before, actually aids the vision because it's high in anthocyanins, and these anthocyanins like to dilate the small capillaries in the eyes. And so high anthocyanin fruits like apples, grapes, and strawberries is best if you can get them organic. But you can get ackee berries, apples, bilberries, blackberries, blueberries, cherries, cranberries, goji berries, and red or purple grapes. And so, as well as red cabbage and black beans are also full of anthocyanins. So consume large amounts of berries. Consume very large amounts of berries. They're full of or any foods that are inconsistent with the colors of the rainbow. And you're going to get all of those nutrients, especially if you're getting it organic. It's even better. If you can't get organic, then at least eat large amounts of these fruits and vegetables. And again, it's better if you are getting them organic. You're going to typically have a lot more nutrient content in the food. If you're getting them organic or either wild grown, you're typically going to have a lot better nutrient content in them, and you're going to get a lot more benefit out of it. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to take one last quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about vitamin E, why it's important. It's very, very important. Very crucial vitamin. You want to hear about why you may even need to be taking some supplements of vitamin E to help you. We'll be back in just a brief moment.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The Simple Natural Health Secrets Blog.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. We're entering into our final segment this evening. This is the healing herb / healing supplement segment. And in this segment, we discuss a vitamin or herb or some nutrient and talk about how it benefits the body. And we've been going through, last week we took a break from it, but we've been, over the past few weeks, we've been going through some of the vitamins in the body. And we've been talking about the recommended daily allowance as opposed to the optimum daily amount that you need, as opposed to the therapeutic daily allowances that you need. And it's very important. We've been talking about the benefits of vitamins. We've talked about vitamin D. We've talked about your B vitamins. And you can, if you haven't heard them, you can go back and listen to the archive here on and go to blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. You can have, we have a list of all of our archives there. Now, we're going to go ahead and tell you to go, if you're interested in these archives, we're probably going to start removing some of the older ones. And there's a lot of great, great content there. So if you haven't had an opportunity to go there and listen, this would be a good idea for you to do so. You can download them and listen there and take notes or whatever, but there's a lot of information there. And I suggest that you get there and listen to some of those older and even not so old episodes that you may have missed. And remember, just in the event that you may read the title and you may, oh, that's not interesting, I suggest that you not only read the title, but click and read down all of the elements or the topics that we discuss in that show. And so, because there may be something in the show, we discuss more than just what we put in the titles. So there could actually be something there later on. Like, for instance, today the title was talking about IQ. And how breakfast is associated with the IQ of your children, but we've talked about many other topics. And so when you read in the episode what we're talking about, you can get a good idea that, you know, I may want to listen to some parts of this. I may be having this problem, or some loved one or family member may be having this problem, or I just want to educate myself in the event that I do have this problem in the future. So we're going to go ahead and move into vitamin E is what we're going to be talking about. Very, very important vitamin. Very, very important. Especially if you're a person who are at risk of blood clots, or if you've been diagnosed with having blood clots, vitamin E is one of the top, if not the top, vitamin to help with that. It's also very, very important for your arteries, to help cleanse your arteries, etc. Let's look at some of the principal uses of vitamin E. This principal use is as an antioxidant. It actually helps protect against heart disease as well as cancer and strokes. Vitamin E also has the capacity to oxygenate the cells and your tissues, and it reduces the need of oxygen. So it prevents unsaturated fatty acids as well as oil-soluble vitamins from being destroyed in your body. It can actually dilate your blood vessels, and it does improve circulation. Again, this is one of the other reasons that it helps with blood clots. It helps decrease, not only decrease, but over time dissolve blood clots. So because it does help increase circulation. Vitamin E also has the capacity to prevent scar tissue formation if you've been burned. It can help protect your capillaries as well as your lungs and your reproductive organs. It's used in many ways. Sometimes, like for instance, it's used in treating heart disease, varicose veins, burns, angina pectoris, emphysema, hypoglycemia, leg ulcers, and some other reproductive problems, as well as infertility, both in male and females. It actually can lessen, if you're a female, it can actually lessen the likelihood that you will have a miscarriage. And it actually, what vitamin E does is it actually enters the fatty portion of your cell membrane, and there it stabilizes and it protects your cells from compounds such as like lead and mercury and some of these other heavy metals. So vitamin E also actually helps protect you from these heavy metals. And given all of the toxins and whatnot and pollutions that we're subject to day in and day out, you can see why it could be very important for vitamin E to be in the body, and why the Creator has made sure that it's in our bodies, especially when we eat the way we're supposed to, etc. The because of its very strong antioxidant effects, a high E diet, or either taking a worthwhile vitamin E supplement, exerts a really protective effect in many common health conditions. So it actually protects your thymus gland, which is very, very important, and circulating white blood cells. Thymus gland has a large role to play in your immune system. And not only that, so the vitamin C actually helps with that, and it also helps protect your other white blood cells, which is part of your immune system when they're circulating through your blood. It's also important in immune function, especially during your stress and chronic viral illnesses such as AIDS and chronic viral hepatitis. So it's very, very important to understand that it's beneficial in viral issues. And there's no antibody that can do anything to offset a virus. But here you have vitamin E and some other herbal helps that we've talked about before that can be very, very beneficial. Vitamin E also has the capacity to reduce LDL cholesterol. It has the capacity to increase HDL cholesterol. That's reduce your bad cholesterol and increase your good cholesterol. And when taken in high doses, it actually offers a significant protection against cancer. In fact, there was one study where patients with low vitamin E levels had a 50% greater risk of cancer. This study actually showed that patients with low vitamin E levels had a 50% greater risk of cancer. So, again, vitamin E is a very, very, very powerful antioxidant. It actually helps relieve also many postmenopausal symptoms. So if you're a woman that's in menopause, vitamin E can actually help relieve those symptoms. It also helps include relief of fibrocystic breast disease, and is also effective in relieving hot flashes and menopausal vaginal complaints, rather. And actually, if you really looked at vitamin E and begin to study it out, it has a large list of benefits that we could sit here and talk about for an entire show easily. So again, remember, vitamin E is very, very, very beneficial. We're not going to finish with it today. We'll continue because we're taking our time. We're going through these. We're going to be talking about deficiency symptom next week. We're going to talk about the recommended daily allowance, the optimal daily allowance, and the therapeutic daily allowance. We're going to talk about the natural versus the synthetic form. We're going to talk about the best food sources, and also going to talk about best supplement sources. So again, I want you to remember to join me here this week at same time from 4 to 5 p.m. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me here, and I hope that you will have a blessed week. I hope that you will stay healthy. If you like, if you can get an opportunity to hear off the show will be available for download or listen on demand probably about 10 to 15 minutes after the show is done. Maybe sooner, maybe five, somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes, depends. The show should be available. Again, thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Henry. Have a blessed week.